This is the sound of football.
And on this week's Sound of Football, we neatly sweep the England versus Ukraine match under the carpet, but not before we consider Rio Ferdinand's worrying form. There's a look at all the World Cup qualifying news, including an in-depth analysis of the European playoff scene. Plus, there's all the latest from North America, South America and Asia. That's all on this week's Sound of Football. A very warm welcome to episode 10 of the Sound of Football. My name's Chris Oakley, and it's my undoubted pleasure to welcome you aboard for another programme. And once again, of course, we have Terry DeFellin and Graham Sibley, my cohorts from some people on the pitch, I should say. Nearly got that wrong. And the onion bag. Welcome, chaps.
Welcome.
Hello.
Yes. Yeah, and let's not tell anybody how many times we've tried to record that opening sequence.
Anyway, three. That's how many times we've tried to record that opening sequence.
And it was all. I resign.
It was all Chris's fault as well.
Never mind. Well, I'll tell you what, let's just paper over the cracks by going on with the main topic of conversation. Is if there are any other topics of conversation for this particular programme, the World Cup qualifiers, which were going on at the weekend.
Yay, World Cup.
Games going on everywhere, all four corners of the globe. I think it's only fair to show equalities to those parts of the world outside of our own backyard by starting off with Europe. So England were playing, but... Yeah, well, I don't think we'll dwell too much on England's match. England lost 1-0 to the Ukraine. Let's just get that out of the way first of all. Of course, England already qualified. Fellas, either of you watch it live online by any chance? He said, expecting the answer no to come back.
Negative.
I actually did see half an hour of the game.
Did you?
Yes.
In what form and when? We want details.
Was already registered with a prominent online bookmaker who stream live football matches, live Serie A matches. And so I've been using it to watch that, to watch Serie A. And it turns out that as a member, I was able to access the game. Now, if I'd joined up before the game, I'd have had to have paid, put a deposit in into the account. But because I joined up, 2 years ago, I haven't paid a penny, and I managed to watch the game. Having said that, it was rubbish, so I'm not too fussed either way. In fact, I'm quite pleased I didn't actually have to pay, and I wouldn't have paid to watch it. And I watched the Germany Russia game, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and then the Denmark Sweden game. And in the intervening time, I caught what I saw of the England game, and it was turgid, frankly.
I saw. I managed to catch the hastily scheduled highlights package on Match of the Day. On Saturday night,
apparently wasn't so hastily scheduled, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was.
It was actually they sorted it out at the time, but it was just the fact that they just kept it secret from everyone.
Yeah, they embargoed.
I think there was something like the best of Mock the Week or something on it.
That's right,
wasn't there?
So that's probably in arrangement. Sorry, Graham, that's probably in arrangement with the rights holders, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
You could do it. You could have it, but you can't tell anybody about it until after the game started. So they were after everyone's paid.
Kind of sets a bit of a kind of dangerous precedent in case they do decide to do something similar to this in future, isn't it? I mean, you just know that probably no one's going to subscribe to it, more so than on this occasion, because they'll just expect someone to pick up the highlights package in the evening. So it's just, although quite how often this is likely to happen in the near future is anybody's guess. But
so the whole thing's a bloody mess anyway, frankly. So I mean, it wouldn't have happened if Tatanta hadn't gone out of business. So I guess as last week we said last week.
Yeah, I mean, if enough people who wanted to see it, it would have been on telly. The whole reason that why it wasn't on telly was because not enough people wanted to watch it.
Exactly.
Yes, dead rubber, if ever there was one. But ironically,
for Ukraine it wasn't, because it put them in...
I was just going to say that, yes, of course, not for Ukraine, because it does now put them in the box seat to get the playoff spot from England's group, which is looking likely to be theirs. They've managed to sort of sneak in ahead of Croatia. And I think, if I'm right in recalling, Ukraine have only got Andorra now to play, and so it's pretty much a fait accompli, wouldn't you say?
Certainly.
Croatia have got Kazakhstan, I think.
Which is only fractionally more difficult, I suspect.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's Ukraine are shoo-ins. It's going to require a miracle for Croatia to get into the playoffs, I think.
We'll be talking about the playoffs and the seedings and what have you shortly, but while we're on the subject of England, It gives me great pleasure. So we've had someone contact us. It's Dan on the Sound of Football Facebook fan page, actually. We've been telling you to get in touch with us if you so care to do so. And we thank Dan for getting in touch. And he basically says, Rio Ferdinand, is he still first choice? He's so error-prone. Is he becoming a liability? Now, I mentioned this briefly in the show last week, and I know I'm not the first person to picked up on this, that he is definitely going through a bit of a rough spell, and he made a mistake in the game against Man City, he made a mistake in the England game against Holland some time ago, and so he's obviously going through a bit of a rough patch. I think a lot of the so-called experts are of the opinion that you know, you should basically stick by him, and you know, all players kind of go through a bit of a wobbly patch, and he'll come right, and as long as the manager shows faith in this particular player, i.e. Rio Ferdinand, he'll come good in the end. Is that, I'm guessing that's something you both subscribe to, or not?
Yeah,
Well, yeah, I mean, I think with Rio is that, yeah, he's made a couple of howlers in England games of late. Hasn't stopped us getting to the World Cup at a canter, it has to be said. And really, I think it's when you look at, I mean, like, centre back is probably one of the weakest positions we have at the moment in the England team. When either John Terry or Rio Ferdinand aren't around, we're really scratching around. We've got people like Jolyon Lescott and Matthew Upson coming in, and quite frankly, they're rubbish. They are. I mean, like, if they can play for England, so can I. Really.
Well, don't just stand there, man. Get your name down the list.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Well, Terry, what do you think?
I can't really see any viable replacement to Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah, you've got Wes Brown coming in, I think, after that.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, you may as well just make the best of it and just stick with the guy and hope that he minimises his mistakes. You know, when we get to the World Cup, but I mean, if he's going through a bad patch in form, then perhaps it'll be sorted out by June, in which case, happy days. But if he's not going through a bad patch, then we'll just have to, you know, just have to acknowledge that it's a weakness in our side and deal with it. I mean, every team has weaknesses. Almost every team has weaknesses. In fact, no, every team has got a weakness somewhere. And England will probably have more than one. Holland will have more than one. You know,
well, I was going to say that probably England, like a lot of other teams, will probably have more to worry about on the sort of injuries front
It's very interesting, actually, because I think if you look at Germany's side at the moment, I mean, like, Germany's centre half pairing for the last few years have been pretty appalling as well. I mean, and they've done great things still.
Yes, so, although interestingly,
Metzelder
is gone, yeah, and Vestermann has been put in from Schalke, and they looked they looked quite solid. And Vestermann is mobile, which you
Mertesacker
not something
is still
you
there,
can say. Yes, Mertesacker is still there, but I mean, he turns like the QE2, and as does Metzelder. But with Vestermann, at the very least, they've got a little bit more mobility at the back there. Having said that, they were lucky. They were lucky against Russia, frankly.
Before we talk slightly gradling, I just one last thing I'll just say about the England game is that I thought Johnson had a good game actually in defence. Just talking about defence, he was very good at going forward, but there are still one or two doubts about, because I think fundamentally England's defence is one that likes to kind of move forward, play forward attacking football, as it were, and Johnson certainly fits in with that. But as was certainly seen on one occasion during the England-Ukraine game, when he was so far up the pitch and then lost the ball, there is an enormous gap at the back which has to be filled, and almost led to a second goal, I think, for the Ukraine at the time. So Johnson played well, still things to iron out, and I dare say lots of little sort of niggly things to sort out amongst many other areas, let alone the goalkeeper. Let's not even dwell on that for the time being, but we'll come back to that another time. But so there we go. So yes, Ukraine look likely to be in the playoffs. But Germany beat Russia, and two clear-cut penalties not given towards the end of the game.
The first one was perhaps one of those where you think, well, I've seen them not given.
The second one was stick on.
And Russia can feel hard done by that they didn't at least get a point out of that game. But nevertheless, I mean, that's the Germans are through, and you know, you have to admire to an extent their nerve to going to Luzhniki and playing at Kenilworth Road. And
Yeah, I mean, like, they did better than we did.
Quite.
So, yes, indeed, yeah.
They've only conceded 4 goals in 9 games, which is pretty remarkable in itself. So you're suggesting there that, Terry, that Russia deserved at least a point. And would you just put it down to the sort of usual sort of German qualities of resilience and persistence got them the result? Yeah,
I mean, Russia, you know, although they were denied 2 clear penalties, they really should have scored in open play. That would have made things a lot easier. It's a bit of a Chelsea Barcelona argument, isn't it? So they say, well, it's all very well blaming the referee, but frankly,
yeah. I mean, the incident with the sending off was a lovely move that, you know, deserved to end up with the goal, and quite rightly. I mean, like, the guy was almost lucky not to get a straight red for it, really. It was a second bookable, wasn't it, in the end, wasn't it?
But those sort of
movements were few and far between for Russia, and it did look as if Russia almost gave Germany a bit too much respect. I think they seemed. It was a bit like in the European Championships when, you know, against the lesser teams they were great, and as soon as they come up against someone decent and organised, it all that wonderful play seemed to go by the by.
Yeah, I agree. Although I mean, I should say, I mean, obviously as a Bundesliga blogger and fan, I was delighted to see Mesut Ozil settle in quite nicely on that flank. And he set up Miro Klose's goal, which was really nice. Although he wasn't terribly influential, Ozil, throughout the game, he in an attacking sense, he was probably the best part of Germany. And I don't know how Miro Klose keeps doing it, frankly. I don't think
any how many goals is that for him now?
I don't know. It's 50.
40-odd in about 90, isn't it? It
was his 50th goal.
Oh, 50, was his 50th? Yeah, okay.
International
goal.
Most of them have just sort of bounced off him and gone in. He has an extraordinary instinct to find the back of that net.
To be fair, though, the great Gert Müller, a lot of his goals came off his bum. And so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Inzaghi as well is another striker who just...
Yeah, and it's the mark of a true perfect striker, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's a great achievement for him, and it's got them through to South Africa.
Yes, Jerome Boateng, Hamburg defender, got sent off partway through there towards the end ish.
Naive defending. I mean, he looked out of sorts. He didn't look that quick. Hamburg player, young, inexperienced, and a bit of a punt by Jogi Löw, to be honest with you, which is uncharacteristic because he doesn't usually blood that many youngsters. But I think, you know, Boateng's come through the under 21s, and I think he probably felt that. I would imagine that there was probably some injury issues, and that's what maybe forced his hand. But nevertheless, no harm done by the looks of things. But yeah, a bit of a way to go for Boateng if he's gonna become a first choice fullback for Germany.
Mm-hmm. So there we are. So Germany through, Russia assured of a playoff spot. Other results in the European section: Serbia are through to their first World Cup finals as an independent state. They were there last time as Serbia and Montenegro, but Serbia thrashed Romania 5-0, which I thought was a particularly impressive score. That enables France to secure second place in their group. France, another one of these countries that sort of started off slow and gradually sort of hauled their way back. But France beat the Faroe Islands 5-0, so they're second. And then in the Republic of Ireland's group, Ireland actually denied a victory against Italy in their match, which finished 2-2, a last gasp equaliser for Italy. And that means that, similar situation there, Italy are definitely through now. They've won their group, and Republic of Ireland are definitely assured of a playoff spot, having finished second. And Ireland actually helped out in no uncertain terms by the fact that Cyprus beat Bulgaria 4-1. Dimitar Berbatov got Bulgaria's only goal on that one. So well done to Ireland. They're in there.
Who got the Cypriot goals, Chris?
I'll get back to you on that one. Actually, I'll go down to the fellas that run my chip shop down at the end of my road. I think they're separate. They'll know. Just wait here for about 10 minutes. I'll pop down there. Anyway, no. So there we go. So that's all very interesting. And various other bits and pieces still sort of left undecided that will be decided on Wednesday this week in the final round of qualifiers. But just one last thing just to mention. Portugal look like they may yet get through. Denmark beat Sweden. I saw a bit of the Denmark v Sweden game on ESPN this week, and it looked to me like, well, certainly Denmark were putting the ball around. Well, did either of you two see any of that?
I saw quite a bit of the first half in that of that game, and it was quite open. Actually, it was considering that Denmark didn't really need to do much more than draw. I know there was some talk beforehand about a bit of collusion between the two sides, but really, when you looked at the table, Sweden couldn't actually afford a draw because of the way that the table was set up. So they really had to go for the win. Mm. And I think Denmark played it well. I mean, like they were playing it on the counter attack and waiting for Sweden to make a mistake, which, you know, as the game went on, that was what was going to happen.
Yes, did look more and more likely. So
Sweden did have a goal disallowed. Henrik Larsson had a goal disallowed for what looked perhaps to be a marginal offside call, but nevertheless, it certainly demonstrated that the contrived draw that, as Graham alluded to, people thought might happen was never really going to happen.
No,
we published a piece about Portugal's chances of qualifying for the World Cup, but they weren't quite as grim as originally, as if you look at the table, that they didn't look as bad as all that on some people on the pitch, and there seemed to be some suggestion in the comment section that the Scandos would collude
to a draw.
And, you know, I don't think that, I think Graham's right. I mean, that wasn't on. There was too much at stake for both teams, and Sweden couldn't afford to really just settle for a point, because Portugal too, you know, weren't that far behind them, and we're now going to the final games. And what is it? Portugal have got Malta.
That's right. They're at home to Malta, albeit without Cristiano Ronaldo. The last time I saw it, in any case, I think he picked up an ankle injury.
If they don't win that game, then they don't deserve to go to the World Cup. Good laugh, with or without Ronaldo, frankly. So, but you would expect them to win that, and that'll be them through to the playoffs.
And whereas Sweden are at home to Albania, which again they should win, but they're in the wrong place at the wrong time as far as group positions are concerned.
The balance of the fixtures for that group were a bit weird. Because everyone looked at Hungary and went, wow, look at Hungary. But Hungary only played the minnows for most of their opening
fixtures. That's right,
So it gave them a completely false, put them in a completely false position. So now that they're back in the position where they probably are supposed to be, and Portugal have been able to make up some ground and indeed overtake Sweden, which is good for people who want to see, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo coming to the World Cup, I suppose.
Even so, Hungary, I think, if they can kind of keep the momentum going, then maybe they're in with a shout for, say, the next European Championship or something, because I think they've probably done a little better than in recent qualifying competitions, and their under-20 team was certainly doing well last time I looked in the under-20 World Cup. But
absolutely. There is the beginnings of a mini renaissance in Hungary, and perhaps we'll see the benefit of that in 2018 or 2022.
Okay, right, well, many other sort of permutations and whatever, but a quick run through. I mean, the main issue now really is who's going to get the playoff spots, because I think a lot of the leading positions, if you like, in each group have been decided. But a quick run through, we won't go through obviously every single permutation, we'll be here all night, but let's just have a look. Basically, the situation we've got is that the teams likely to be in the playoffs are going to be, from Group 1, either Portugal or Sweden. I suspect Portugal. Group 2, Switzerland, Greece or Israel, and for that I fancy Greece. Group 3, Slovakia, Slovenia or Czech Republic, and I'll go for Slovenia on that. And then the rest, it pretty much writes itself. In fact, the teams that are currently second in all the other groups, that's Russia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Ukraine or Croatia, probably Ukraine, almost certainly Ukraine, France and Ireland. Now, apparently, if we're looking at which teams out of the eight teams in the playoffs, which ones are going to be seeded.
That's also saying that Norway aren't going to make it good.
Presuming
out,
that Norway, yes.
Well,
that's
no, they are out, aren't they?
They are out, yeah. Because they are the poorest of the nine.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yes, we had an inquiry via some people on the pitch from Tokyo Toffee Man earlier on, which I'm pleased to say that Graham dealt with most efficiently by pointing him towards the page on Wikipedia, which explains all of that very efficiently. But yes, Norway currently sort of it's basically because Norway's group and Scotland's group, in fact, has one less team in it than all the others. All the other groups have to take away their matches, the results against the sixth place team in each group. This is probably going way above all your heads, and maybe you already know it, I don't know already, but basically it looks like Norway are going to miss out by being the worst sort of runner-up team at the moment. But the key thing, I guess, is out of the eight teams in the playoffs, which four are going to be seeded? I'm led to believe that that will be decided according to the FIFA World Rankings that are going to come out for October in about a week's time. And if you're looking at the current FIFA rankings as a guide, it looks as though the seeded teams will be, and again this is all a little bit sort of, bear in mind this is a little bit what if, but it should be Russia, France, Greece and Slovenia as the seeded teams, Portugal unseeded, along with Ukraine, Ireland and Bosnia-Herzegovina. Which means that you could quite likely end up with a France v Portugal match, which would see one of those two go, or Russia-Ukraine, Russia, there's all kinds of permutations there, but what do you make of all that, fellas? I mean, is it not the right way to... It seems to be certainly in the case of Portugal being unseeded that they've literally taken their most recent form and not the fact that they've qualified for most of the big tournaments over the last few occasions.
I think if those are the seeded and unseeded nations, I would almost guarantee that Portugal will end up playing Slovenia.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I can't believe that Portugal would not be seeded. What's the point in seeding? What's the point in changing the rules of the playoff draw if you're going to put Portugal in the unseeded group?
Mm.
It just doesn't make any. The whole point of doing it is to protect the bigger nations so that they can go to the World Cup, because FIFA want the bigger markets for the World Cup. I mean, that's. I'm not going to get into the debate as to the rights and wrongs of that. That's what they want. What they want, and that's what they're going to do. So how on earth... There's going to be some serious fudgery going on with that draw.
They will be packing it with fudgery, won't they?
They certainly will.
Are you suggesting there are people at FIFA that... No, I can't even say it. No. Let's not even go down that road.
Yeah, or either that or there'll be some bull warming, I don't know.
there'll be some very warm bulls in that bag.
So certainly lots and lots of hot fudgery and warm bulls. Sorry.
Okay. Please don't sue us, but FIFA. We don't mean it really.
Having said that, I mean, who wants to go to Bosnia?
No one. I would say if they're unseeded, out of those four unseeded teams, I'd think those are probably the most dangerous ones out there. I mean, if France drawn against Bosnia, I don't know how that would end up. Really,
you could look at all of those unseeded. I mean, Bosnia. Not only is it probably going to be the most difficult venue to go to, difficult journey to go to, because presumably they're going to go to Sarajevo.
Yeah.
They're going to have to go to Sarajevo, whoever it is that gets drawn them. And also they're probably going to finish as the runner-up with the most points apart from Russia. Because I think they're going to finish on 21 points. And Russia, so only Russia would have, of all the, of the, certainly the highest scoring unseeded nation. No one's going to want to go there, so I mean it's going to be a really interesting draw.
Yeah,
indeed.
Sorry Chris.
No, go ahead, Graham.
Well, I'm looking at it and think that there's none of these sort of teams that are putting us, none of them are really putting a late burst in. I mean, like Portugal and France, neither really look like they've really sort of like turned the corner and said, actually no, we're going to qualify now. They've been winning games that they should have won, but Portugal haven't looked convincing at all in any of the games they've played.
I'd go along with that.
I just sort of think that out of those eight teams, depends on obviously how it's drawn. I think Russia and France will make it through, but as for the other two places, I think that's really up for grabs for any of those.
Looking at what I saw, the England-Ukraine match, I have to say Ukraine did look beatable. They kind of looked a bit weak.
Yeah, I mean, like this is a team that drew with Belarus, isn't it?
Yeah.
I
know it's all what ifs and like the fact that England had a man sent off early on, blah blah blah. But I got the impression that they were eminently beatable. So,
yeah. Well, mind you, they didn't have Voronin, did they, playing for them? So you know they were a man down themselves.
Indeed.
How true.
And Ireland, I mean, Ireland have been fairly consistent, but do you think they've got what it takes to kind of cut the mustard in if they get to the finals? Or?
No, but I certainly think they've got enough to get through a playoff. They're that sort of team, aren't they?
I think they're one of the better playoff candidates.
Because they can pull out results like 2-2 against Italy and get draws in Italy as well.
It depends entirely on the draw, doesn't it, guys? If they get Russia, then no, they're not going through. But I think anybody who gets Russia isn't going through. I think Russia are gonna go through to the World Cup. So whoever they get. But if they get Portugal or France, or in fact anybody else, then I think Ireland have got an excellent chance of getting through, despite what Trapattoni's might be worried about. I think that they've got an excellent chance of getting through.
Yeah, I think the teams to avoid in that are Russia and Bosnia.
Damn right, yeah.
I mean, there's slim possibilities. You may even end up with teams like Sweden, Switzerland, or even the Czech Republic going in there. But I think that the eight that we're talking about there should be the ones. Be very surprised. You might get one that is replaced out of those eight. But yes, they appear to be the runners and riders as far as the European section is concerned. But lots going on over in South America as well. Before this weekend's games, Brazil and Paraguay were the only two that qualified. But Chile have now joined in. They qualified by beating Colombia 4-2 away from home, while Brazil lost their unbeaten run, losing 2-1 to Bolivia. Now, work this out, right? There's something's not quite adding up here. Bolivia have managed to beat Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay, and yet are second from bottom in the qualifying group. What the hell's going on?
That's because they're the only team that they've managed to beat.
Well, I suppose you've got a point there.
And Peru, but, I think they've beaten Peru.
But you just think, blimey, if they just, you know, they could have just got picked up a few points against some of the minor teams. But there it is.
It does suggest that probably the Argentines and the Brazilians were not prepared for their altitude.
Yeah.
Well, as you say, that's the other factor, of course, is the old altitude.
Yeah, because they don't get a lot of points away from home, do they, Bolivia? I think only Peru have got a worse away record than them in the group.
Although that was very nearly different, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Argentina managed to just about beat Peru 2-1. It was very shaky.
I saw that game. I watched that game. It was bonkers.
It was pretty crazy, actually. I watched it. I was slightly worse for wine at the time, but it looked painful. I think if you'd been an Argentinian fan, I don't know what you'd have been going through.
Probably about a couple of bottles of wine as well, I should have thought. And it culminated in Maradona doing a Klinsmann dive, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah, because it got in the second. The first half was fairly humdrum. It was a bit boring, actually. I mean, the Argentines were getting really frustrated, but the second half was bonkers because the weather turned biblical. I mean, it rained so much, and the wind picked up, and the camera on the main gantry was shaking at one point. It was really, really bonkers, and it looked like something. And then Peru got the equaliser at the death, and we thought the world's about to cave in. You just got this sort of like moment of, oh no, it's actually going to happen. Argentina are about to really stuff this up badly. And then actually, as it turns out, that they managed to get Martin Palermo, the guy who's probably been one of the most controversial selections by Maradona, came up at the last minute at the far post, completely unmarked. I mean, completely unmarked. It's just shocking defending by the Peruvians. No wonder they're so awful. I mean, you've just equalised.
They've probably just got caught cold by the fact they're actually up against
you're
someone.
You're probably right. It's like, my God, what have we just done? How dare we come here? And the defence, they didn't know what to do. And Palermo was just there in acres of space, and just slotted it home, and then cue the belly flop, and Argentina now have to go to Uruguay on Wednesday.
Right behind them in the group table.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I can't. I, on the basis of, I mean, that Peru were awful, and Argentina got through by the skin of their teeth. I can't see them winning in Montevideo, and they really need to.
Yeah.
They really need to, because Ecuador aren't too far behind, and it could all still go terribly, terribly wrong. If Ecuador win and Uruguay win, then Uruguay will get fourth and Ecuador will get fifth, and Argentina will be staying at home.
Yeah.
Just seismic.
It's going to be a fantastic match on Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's the match of the round.
Well, if Argentina play like that against Uruguay, then they are going to have to pray that Chile in their flip flops do something against Ecuador.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because Chile are there.
They're already there. Yeah,
Chile are there. So hopefully, yes, indeed. Well, I mean, I would like Argentina to qualify. I think most. You know, right thinking they've got to earn it, and I wouldn't want, you know, at the same time, I mean, if Ecuador beat Chile, then they'll deserve their playoff spot.
Yeah, certainly.
It's just so difficult to call, because I think they're really evenly matched, Argentina and Uruguay, in terms of their form thus far in the competition. I just can't separate them at all. I really don't know. I can easily expect that to go to a draw, but like you say, if Argentina play the way they did against Peru. And, you know, Uruguay haven't been playing too badly, really, of recently, so a little bit inconsistent, but it's quite feasible that, you know, we may not be seeing Argentina. That's going to be the one to watch, I think, certainly on Wednesday.
It's going to be a cracking fixture, though, isn't it? There'll be lots and lots of away fans, you'd imagine, crossing the River Plate to Montevideo. It's going to be a superb derby game. Man, what a mouth-watering fixture that, Uruguay v Argentina. I can't wait for that.
Sorry, go on, is that Graham?
No, it's just saying cracking fiction.
Yeah, and like I said, there's probably going to be many an Englishman probably sort of standing up in their front room when the final whistle blows, sort of with clenched fists, saying, "Ha ha, you had this coming to you, Maradona. I've wasted all this time, 23 years."
And yet the feeling of emptiness will not go away, though. Hang on, I'm supposed to feel better about myself now I've seen Maradona suffer.
Now my life is empty.
Terry Butcher woke up the next day and still realised that he was the man that he is, so anyway.
So that's South America then, and even in Africa we have another qualifier in the shape of Ivory Coast, who join Ghana going off to South Africa next year. They drew 1-1 with Malawi, Drogba scoring in the 67th minute of that game, but still quite open. There's like three places left to be decided.
There is another big crunch tie there with Algeria playing Egypt
in Group C.
Yeah, in Egypt. So, I mean, Egypt are 3 points behind Algeria, so they do need, I think, a two-goal win.
Egypt lost the reverse fixture earlier in the campaign as well. So that's a tasty game. There's quite a lot of Algerians coming through, playing in France and in Germany, and they've got a decent side. Definitely, if they make it, definitely worth throwing the spotlight on Algerian football in a future post for some people on the pitch, I think.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I'd quite like to see Algeria qualify. I don't think we've seen them in the World Cup since about 86, if I remember rightly. And it'd be good to see them sort of given a chance. But of course, Egypt are the African champions at the moment. So it's a bit like the Argentina thing. You'd want to sort of see the best teams. And it's just a question of whether they can just finish off the job there by beating Algeria.
They're second in Group 3, and Algeria are 3 points above, and they've got +4 goal difference on them, so Egypt are going to have to go some in order to.
Well, it's going to have to be a 2-goal win, isn't it? Because that will eat up that 4-goal difference.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a difficult challenge.
Oh, certainly.
Egypt to do there, but it's not being carried in the UK, so we won't get to see it. But I'm sure it will be a memorable fixture.
Indeed, and you know, Cameroon are in top of Group A at the moment, so they are, but they're only a point ahead of Gabon.
Yeah, they're away to Morocco, so I can't see them not winning that. Actually, really, I mean, if it's a good test for them, really, because Gabon are away to Togo. Togo can't qualify now, so the World Cup's going to be without Emmanuel Adebayor. Oh dear,
Morocco haven't even won any of their five matches yet. They're going through a very bad patch at the moment. And Group B, Tunisia, 2 points ahead of Nigeria, but I'm just having a quick look here at the remaining fixtures. Tunisia are away to Mozambique, and Nigeria are away to Kenya. And yeah, we could see Nigeria.
Both winnable for them, but
yeah. So that's that. Sorry, go on, no, Graham.
No, sorry, it looks like Nigeria will be missing out, I would think.
Quite possibly, yes, indeed.
No,
and
Super
Eagle. So there we go. And so the only other part of the world we haven't mentioned was the there was a playoff, a continental playoff, if you like, between.
Actually,
Chris.
North America.
Yeah,
oh, sorry. Well, sorry, before I get on to North America, I forgot.
Our much valued American listeners will be.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's just quickly deal with the Asia versus Oceania playoff, which was 0-0. Not much to talk about there. Bahrain 0, New Zealand 0. Second leg is at home, is at New Zealand, but Bahrain, of course, will have the away goals advantage, and I expect them to win that. So that's that. But of course, there are other qualifiers. Let's not forget North and Central America. Heavens no. USA have secured their place and jolly good too. They won at the weekend. Anyone see any of that stuff?
Afraid not, but it did sound like a bit of a ding dong.
Was a bit of a ding dong, yeah. It's I think the impression I'm getting is that the US team are giving their fans an exciting ride at the moment, shall we say? But they are there. They're currently top of the group on 19 points, just one ahead of Mexico, who are also surprise, surprise, in the next World Cup. They've managed to get through as well. And all these, you know, this post Sven era, who'd have thought? It's taken a bit of time to turn things around, but they are there now. So. Honduras, who were sort of leading the group for a long while, now down to fourth, but it's still, you know, very open. I think if I remember rightly, the top three spots are automatic qualification places, and the fourth place in the group goes into a playoff. So that's to say Honduras at the moment, Costa Rica currently third. So the remaining fixtures in that section are let me see, El Salvador playing Honduras, Trinidad and Tobago playing Mexico, USA playing Costa Rica. So there's all those kind of permutations of, like, will they do in England? And, you know, the teams that have already qualified, will they do in England and just sort of take their foot off the gas and not be too bothered?
I think it's a distinct possibility that the USA just sort of fall apart now.
Yeah.
I get the impression from people who know more about the USA soccer team than I do that they just hold it together to do enough. But now that they've done enough, I think that Costa Rica have got a chance of turning over the Yanks.
Yeah, and I mean, the Trinidad and Tobago versus Mexico match is an absolute dead rubber, because Mexico definitely threw and Trinidad and Tobago definitely not. Mm. So the Honduras match will be quite an interesting one to see as well. The original fixture for that, when they played each other first time around, was 1-0 to Honduras, and that was Honduras at home. So again, Honduras not been in the World Cup since 1982, so that'll be I'll be kind of cheering them on, because I'd quite like to see them go through. I think Costa Rica have had enough chances, thank you very much. They are going to buy soapbox now. So that's the situation in North and Central America. Now, is there anywhere else I've forgotten?
No, I think you've done well enough there, Chris.
I think we've covered.
Right.
We have covered everywhere. Excellent. We have covered the entire world by the looks of things in 37 minutes and 43 seconds.
Right, so now on to Neptune Division 2. the other planets in the solar system. Right, so there we go. So that's your roundup of what's been going on in the World Cup, but plenty more action to be covered on our next podcast, which will be coming to you at the start of next week. And we'll sort of tidy up all the loose ends from that. All that needs to be said for the time being is just to say that you can catch up with us on all the usual channels. You can get us on the Sound of Football blog site. You can catch the podcast on iTunes. You can catch us on Twitter, the usual detail. We won't run through all that kind of stuff, but hopefully by now you should know where to find us. All the details are available via the Sound of Football website, blog site. That's your first port of call, really.
Can I just chime in, Chris, quickly, very quickly, and say, do feel free to write a favourable review on the iTunes.
Ah, of course, yes.
Because it's all grist to the mill in that regard. But, you know, anyway.
Yeah. Yes, and do like Dan and get in touch with us via our Sound of Football Facebook fan page if there's anything you want us to discuss, or you have any feedback about the show. For now, though, I think we'll say goodbye, and thanks very much for joining us. We'll speak to you again next week, but for now, from Terry, Graham, myself, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.